Well, John said he'd turn the mic on, so we don't forget that, and turn it around and keep messing up. Pretty good hand at that. Brother Troy, I appreciate that message this morning. Very, very needful to me, and I think to about everyone. It's good to be back with the church this morning. It's homecoming, you say? It is home. And especially good to come to the Lord's house. And especially good to hear the Word of God. And to worship, I think, in the way that we were brought up to worship. The way that we were taught. I think even, maybe might get a little out of place here, but to use the King James Version. I just can't get over what is lost in going to some of the other versions of the Scripture, especially get lost in it. And I'm in an ordination one time down at King's Edition, and they asked the missionary to be that was being ordained, what version of the Scriptures he would use. And his expression was the King James was good enough for Paul and it was good enough for him. I don't know whether he was being serious or not, but he said that was good enough for him. But it's good to be back in the Lord's house. Brother Troy, I want to say something else. Don't worry about those hearing aids. They become earplugs. I've got mine in this morning, and one sound will be 10 times too high, and the next one you still can't hear either. So you just about as well try to learn to read lips as to try to wear your hearing aids. But I want us to think about something that means an awful lot to God's people. The text, Brother John asked me for a text verse, and it's 1 John chapter 4. And verse 6. And we'll be going back here, but I want that first phrase for our thoughts this morning. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 6. We are of God. Now, when you begin to think about, and we don't have time to put all of it together this morning, but you go back to the fall, and in Adam, all died. At that time, there was not a righteous man, not a man on the earth who could claim righteousness when Adam fell. And yet today, in our nation, something over 50%, I think, some people say as much as 70 or 80%, claim some sort of righteousness. And I believe that, for the most part, it's self-righteousness. But we are of God. Now, how in the world did a dead sinner get to come to be a child of the living God? How did it take place? Was it because, like Adam, after he had sinned, he saw his sin and then he tried to cover it up? Did that make him righteous? No. Never, never, never. We go all the way to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and we find that Christ said, you must be born again. In those same scriptures, he said that We are, or that which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit. And Christ himself made a separation between our fleshly body and our spiritual body. We are of God only by a new birth. Only by a new creation. That soul that is dead must be reborn. And he cannot be reborn of God or without God, I should say, any more than his first birth was without parents. We being of God are born of God. I like to, and it just gets beyond me when I begin to think about it, the relationship that we have with the Creator of this universe, with the Creator of all living. And if you will carefully examine the Scriptures, you will find when something was emphasized greatly in the Scriptures, it goes back and speaks of the God of creation, the God who made all things, the God who formed everything. It is based on the fact that God did it, not we. When we come to our salvation, to our new birth, we are born not of our will, but of the will of the Father. I just read a little book a couple of weeks ago, picked it up and sat down and started reading it. Very carefully and yet very simply written. But it defined for us the difference between being of ourselves and of God. Of ourselves. Most people who profess to be Christians will tell you that they are a Christian because of the things that they have done. They made a decision. They changed their life. They turned around and went a different direction. They were baptized. Or they made a profession of faith and then were baptized. They have done, and you will hear, I have done, I have done, I have done. But seldom do you hear, I am of God. Because of what God has done in my life through Jesus Christ. Seldom will you ever hear that statement made. In the book of Romans chapter 8, I want us to look there beginning in verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the Spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Receive the Spirit of adoption. And then he says, the Spirit itself or himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit of God bearing witness in our hearts that we are the children of God. I like these next verses. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We are of God, and God calls us children. He referred to his son. I refer to my children. My children, my grandchildren, those that I have a blood relationship with. And God refers to me as his child, born of his blood, born of his spirit, cleansed by the blood of his son, made his child by a work of God that I had nothing to do with. I could not do. I was dead. I am made a child of God. God says I'm born, and then God says I'm adopted. And in both cases, we become both individual and personal children, and we become legal children of the God of heaven by Jesus Christ. We are of God. Instead of being depressed as the children of God, we ought to be rejoicing. We ought to be shouting. Because we are the children of God. Now, over in the book of Acts, if you would look there, in the book of Acts chapter 17, verse 24. I'd like to take the verses around it, but for time we'll just take the one verse. God didn't save us just to turn us loose and say, do the best you can. Now, we see the evidence of children in the world whose parents have not been parents. We see the evidence of all of the trouble that is going on among the youth, and it is not really the trouble of the youth, it's the trouble of the parent who did not parent their children. But may I say, aside from that, that God not only brought about a new birth in my life and gave me my life, but God says, I'm with you, I'm in you. Romans, back in Romans chapter 8, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. But here he says, in him, that is in Christ, we live and move and have our being, as also or certain also of your own poets have said, for we are his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's image. And at the time of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. We'll stop the reading there, but you go ahead and read that when you get time. But he says, in him we live and move and have our being. Like Brother Troy said also already this morning, we get busy. And everybody who knows me knows that I, like Brother Troy, lived a busy life. I tried to pastor the church, tried to run a construction company. Then, though that wasn't enough to keep me occupied, I went and joined the volunteer fire department and was fire chief for a number of years. Mine was so busy a life that Lee said he came home twice. We have two children. So you might consider how busy we get not thinking of what we're neglecting. Excuse me. In him we live and move and have our being. That's our whole life should be wrapped in Christ. He gave us a spirit, and he said he will guide you into all truth. He will teach you all things. Folks, when we're not close to God, it's our fault. Because we are of God. We are children of the Most High. We have access any moment, day or night. Excuse me. Told you this gets close to my heart. We have access at any moment to the throne room in heaven. We don't have to go find the closet. We don't have to go somewhere to find a church building. We have access any moment through our mediator. We are of God, little children. We're of God, born of God, and led of God, cared for of God as little children. And in him live, move, have our being directed from heaven itself. Then, turn over to 1 Peter for just a moment. I'm going to get back to the text here in about another half hour or so. But 1 Peter chapter 1. And I made an outline on this chapter here not long ago. This was written to people who were not only busy, but who were uprooted from their homes. They were strangers. He said they were scattered in verse 1. All over the region, because they were persecuted as God's children. And then he gives them something to grasp and hold on to, because they had become discouraged, and they had become, even some maybe about ready to throw up their hands and give up. And he says to them, you are the elect, in verse 2, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Now you're set apart through the sanctification or through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now, I don't believe that you find, I know Job in his troubles had some very great disappointments and trials. But these were the early church, scattered, separated, run from their homes and gone into whole different countries. Be like picking us up because of religious persecution and sending us off to Mexico. I don't think any of us really want to live in Mexico. Or some other nation, some other country. I know one who loves Mexico. That's Brother Burt Kraft. I get email back and forth from him every little bit, and we correspond every few days. But then he says, blessed be God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter says, people, look up here and bless God. Be thankful to God because we are of God. And look what he says. According to his abundant mercy, he hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. When you realize you've got a good hope, a sure hope, an anchor of the soul that is steadfast and sure, he said, bless God. Thank the Father, your Father, not a God, but my Father, my God. Thank him. He said, you're not only got a lively hope, but you have an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Folks, do we have any idea what it means to say we are of God? God is my Father. I am God's child. Do we realize anything of the blessing that is given unto us just to be called a child of the living God? And now, after seeing these things, I want to begin the message. That's the introduction. I'm kind of long-winded sometimes. So I want you to look at back to 1 John chapter 4. And I'll try to be quiet. My notes consist of just one page this morning. And none of that was on my notes, though. I want you to look at this. The whole book of 1 John is, the theme of it is knowing. I know. We know. We know we are of God. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We know. Now, verse 2 of 1 John says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And he goes on to say that every spirit that doesn't confess that is not of God. In other words, Christ, my Savior, is God's Son, eternal Son, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, who took on him the form of a man and came into this world to die for my sin. And the Spirit of God makes that real to me, makes it alive. When I read it, it becomes alive. This word is not a dead word. It's a living word. Alive in our hearts by the Spirit. Now, verse 4 says, ye are of God, little children. I'm not, you heard this, that you're not your own, you're bought with a price. Paul tells us that. But you're not your own and you're bought with a price, and we're to glorify God. But here, what did he say? You are of God. Who am I? I'm God's child. I belong to God. My citizenship is in heaven, Ephesians tells me. It's not here. My citizenship is already in heaven because I'm born a citizen of heaven. I'm a stranger and a pilgrim here, foreigner here. But ye are of God, little children, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, he says again, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Now here's a little word, and you'll find several of these in this book of John. Hereby know we the Spirit of truth and the spirit of error. How do we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error? Because we are of God. And God leads and reveals to us truth. We are of God. The whole world lies in darkness. And folks, we just don't understand how dark it is. And one reason is because we're not in the light like we should be. We're not in the light. We're not as close to God as we ought to be. When we see him as Father, giving us birth, throughout our life we have our whole life. We live and move and have our being in his control. Somebody said, well, I just don't believe God controls all things. I'll give you a little example of something that I pulled many, many years ago, back in the early 1960s, 1961, I guess it was. 1960, I guess it was. I got orders in the Army to go to Germany. I didn't want to go to Germany. I volunteered to go to Korea. That was only a 13-month tour of duty. Germany was going to take the rest of my time, which was about 28 months left in the service. to be in Germany. I didn't want to go. I did everything. I made every petition I could make. I wrote to, some of you would recognize the name, Carl Perkins. He was a senator from Kentucky. But I went to Germany. The first letter I got in the mail room in Germany was a letter from Carl Perkins. Said, I will do all that I can to keep you from having to go to Germany. But God had a purpose in me going to Germany. We found, after being there just a little while, found a little Baptist church. English speaking, made up of service people. Was in the church about a year, and the pastor rotated back to the States. The church called me as pastor. In Him, we live and move and have our being. Now, I didn't want to go to Germany. But when it came time to come home, I didn't want to come home either. So, we are of God. We know Him. We live in Him. And we know by the Holy Spirit, the things of God. Now, looking on down through this, I'll not take all of the things that I wanted to say, but the hereby's, herein, hereby, and herein that we see in this chapter tell us of our relationship, that sweet relationship we have with God. But we can talk with Him. Now, you can talk to God when you can't talk to anybody else. And the trouble is, so many times we have to get to that point before we want to talk to God. We talk to everybody else about everything, about any problem. Like Mary and Martha had a problem. Finally took it to the right one and got the right answer. Now, go down in this chapter when you're reading it. It begins with the key word, beloved. Beloved. When you get down to verse 7, the thought changes from the Spirit of God and the fact of us and the world. And He said, beloved. He addressed His children as beloved. Now, don't misunderstand the fact that chastening is part of love. When we get around to chastening, that's part of love, but He says, beloved. And He says, let us love one another as God loved us. And then you get down to verse 11. Again, He emphasizes it and He calls us by name. Beloved. Let us love. If God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Now, and I'll close with this verse. Go down to verse 15, and we want to look at just a few verses here. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, He in God. What did we start with? We are of God. That's our abiding place. As Christ said, abide in me dwelling place. We dwell in God. Now, as we have known and believed the love that God hath to us, God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. You mark your Bibles, mark this next verse. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Ooh, that gets right down to the bottom of your heart. As He is, so are we in this world. How is God? He's not like our nation. He's doing fine. Heaven still, and well, heaven and earth are still operating just like He intended. But heaven's getting brighter. The world is getting darker. And the evil and the troubles of this world are going to get worse and worse. And I know it's discouraging to God's people. We talk about how sad the conditions are in this world. But folks, if you want something to get your attention, as He is, so are we in this world. We're in Christ. And our relationship doesn't change. As He is the Son of God, so are we the Son of God, even though we're here in this world. It gets dark, but the light still shines. Troubles come, but the light's still there. He is the light of this world, and yet He is the one that has lighted a light in our hearts. We are truly of God. And folks, it says something to the hearts of God's people if they will spend a little time and just learn we are truly God's children, God's offspring. And then, I don't know the day, I don't know the hour, but I know He's coming. He promised it. And His will was, He said in the prayer in John chapter 17, Father, I will that they may be with me where I am, that they may see the glory that I had with you before the world was. See, that's God's will for us. That's God's purpose that He began when He brought us into this world. Even before that, before the foundation of the world, to redeem a people unto Himself. To make us like Him, because as He is, so are we. And then to take us into His glory, to live with Him. But don't forget, you're coming back here to reign with Christ. That'd be a glorious reign, too. We'll come back and reign on this earth with Him, because we are His people and because we are of God. we shall live and reign with him 1,000 years on this earth. And then we shall be kings and priests of God forever and ever and ever. Folks, this book says something when it says we are of God.